Yeah.
Really? I haven't heard that one.
Oh, you haven't heard that one? Oh, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, this is going to be new to you.
Guys, has the statute of limitations run out on that one yet?
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night QRL. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, the virtual Copperpot. Tonight, big news about bottom gear. Meerkat? That's so last week. It's Periscope now. And time to shed the snow tires. Or is it? All that and more on Late Night QRL! And now, digitally gathering to listen to the latest Anthony Marco podcast.
Fuck, fuck, fucking fuck, fucking... fucking, fucking, fuck it, fucking bullshit.
Thanks, Doug. Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael!
Anyhow, Joel, to finish the robotic state story, if they go to state, they'll be told on the Monday after Easter, and they have to leave the day after that Wednesday. So they get very little notice.
Yeah, real little notice.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what? Oh, okay. So we got to kind of plan on going without knowing whether we're going or not.
No kidding. That's it kind of leaves everything up in limbo.
Yeah, especially the day they find out it's not even a school day.
Oh, jeez.
So they really only have one day's notice for school, but they're all a pretty tight group. They know what's going on. I mean, they email each other and talk like all hours of the day.
Right.
They get together during the summer, just to keep the group together, too. You know, go out to the beach or stuff.
Yep. Which is awesome. I think that's so cool, just to keep the team around. Keep them together.
Hello?
You're here. Oh, we can hear you.
Yeah, I guess you got the gerbil running in the wheel faster.
Hello?
Can you hear Marty?
We can hear you.
Hello?
This smells like pre-show.
We got to type something to him.
Type something to him. I'm looking for...
We can hear you.
Hello?
Barty. Hello, Barty.
Hi, Barty.
Hi. I'm going to put my camera on real quick. So hopefully you can see it.
My name is Mahandra MacDaddy.
We can hear you, Barty. Barty, we can hear you. See this thing with the holes in it? This is the microphone. We can hear you.
Hello.
Hi, hey, Barty.
Hello.
We can hear you.
Hello. Hi, Barty. Look at the video.
Joel, I can't hear you. I can see your text that says we can hear you, Barty, but I can't hear you back.
Well, fix it.
What originally happened was Chrome crashed, so I rebooted the machine, and I can only connect and through Chrome. I don't understand why no other browser will do this. But
have
right now, I can't hear a word you guys are saying.
I'm going to type that. Try turning it off on again.
This technical support brought to you by Studio V.
Try turning it off and turning it back on again. Check your hangout settings. Check the oil in your car. The oil in the Jeep. Check the amount of laundry detergent in the wash machine?
Thank you.
Party, can you hear us? He's still there.
Yeah.
Party, yeah, he can
just... he's probably working right now to try and fix it.
Okay.
Check to see.
But I don't see anything else to adjust.
Can you hear us? Check your Apple settings.
Well, this is total crap.
Check your Apple settings.
Hey, we just had new oil change from the Jeep, so I know that's fine. The truck hasn't had enough miles on it to have oil change yet. My Apple settings. My Apples are just fine, Barry.
This is awesome. You gotta be
one of my nuts, if anyone else is concerned. Why you would be, I don't know. So, well, hey, listen, I don't want to hold up the show because of this. Let's just, you guys just go on, and we'll try to do better next week. I've changed things over here in the office because this is kind of cool. I wanted to talk about the new hardware I got. I got a 4K monitor from a Mac Pro. I took the iMac and moved it into the office and disconnected everything. And I haven't hooked the iMac in there yet, but I do have the Mac Pro that I've been using hooked up the same way I've been using it. So why it's not working, I don't know. But the 4K monitor is absolutely gorgeous.
Nice.
Running around Photoshop and things like that.
Oh,
I love it.
Sweet. And we're talking, Barty.
How many licks it takes? Damn, Joel, you're awesome. How many licks it takes?
You get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. It's important.
It takes as many licks as it takes to get to the bottom of things, you know?
We could turn the cameras on and do sign language.
Michael's dad is gone.
What?
And I'm a frequent licker from way back. I like to And Joel, you're a guy that can appreciate that.
Well, let me see if I'm in the picture.
My I don't know what you big. Mean by those arm motions, Barry.
That's the international sign for bullshit.
So, I don't know what to check here.
I'm giving him sign language. Oh!
He lost
just dropped off. But we'll start the show because we're already 30
minutes. Did he turn it off and turn it back on again?
Or? I think he might be turning it off and on again.
You know, he can keep trying to join the show. Tell him to keep trying. And we'll have fun with it during the show. What the hell? None of our other shows are professional.
That's why people listen to us.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's start this puppy. What are we up to?
Okay.
Oh, it's show 175. Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM. And from the still snowy Monadnock region of Southwest New Hampshire, where we got another 2 to 3 inches today, I am Barry J.
And from the also getting snow, but none of it stuck to the ground, thank God, southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the family truckster, about half hour south of Marquette, Michigan, this is
Hello.
Mike, Virgil Huber.
Hey, Barty.
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear us, Barty?
Can you hear me?
I'm going to turn off my camera again. Barty, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
Type it to him, Joel. And tell him we started the show, so.
All right.
Or don't tell him we started the show. That Barty's having problems. We can hear him, but he can't hear us.
Hey, I can hear you.
All right.
Hey.
What'd you do?
Holy crap.
You had to turn the camera on. That's what it was. You had to turn the camera on. And then
I
whenever I open my eyes, I can hear better.
Yeah, but then it sucks my bandwidth down and I lose connection.
Yeah, but how many center licks does it take to get to the center of your bandwidth? That's the question.
Yeah, I got that earlier. Did you hear my answer?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Oh, all right, all right.
So Barty, because of Michael's problem, try turning off. Oh, you did.
I didn't know Michael had a problem.
He had a bandwidth issue.
Other than 5 feet of snow.
He's mobile.
I think we're connected now, and everybody can hear everybody.
Barty, can he still hear us without the camera on?
Yes, I can.
Good.
I can hear you.
All right. Well, we've come to that part of the show where we all
all talking to each other.
Well, tell you the truth, people, we're just starting the show now, and we're already 33 minutes into the recording.
Uh-huh.
No kidding. Well, except for that part you have to deduct.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, don't worry. I will be monitoring this and reviewing it, and there will be... I just got a Charlie horse.
There you go. There's the first late night QRM Charlie horse of the season, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Jesus.
It's fun to laugh at other people's misfortune, isn't it?
I mean, it is. It's one of those things that's always funny when it's not happening to you.
It's small, and it's like watching fat people fall down on the ice. You don't want to laugh, but you have to. It's just the rules. It's science. You can't argue with it. But thanks, Dave. Anyway.
All right.
Y'all better?
I don't know. Oh, it moved.
It moved?
It moved. You sure that's not a mouse climbing up your leg and biting the spots?
Hey, I've had to deal with those today, too.
I don't want to go there. Things running up your pant legs are your own business.
No.
You got to put traps out.
I do. I've already caught three.
Stomp heavy.
I caught three. Oh, I'll have to talk about that, too, because I found some neat traps that are pretty cool.
I'd be interested in hearing about those.
Okay. Being 410, shotgun shells.
Hey, shotguns. That's a good way to get rid of snakes.
Oh, snakes? Now, that's my wife's department. I hate snakes.
So does my wife.
She takes care of the snakes. I take care of the fuzzy little creatures.
Well, have her tell me how she takes care of the snakes, because that's been an ongoing thing out here.
Oh, it's simple. We had one live in the basement, and I wouldn't even go down into the basement. It was just one of those brown ribbon snakes, like a gardener snake, you know?
Yeah.
And she got a bucket.
You mean a garden snake?
Garden snake. Yeah.
As if there's a gardener snake and have a little hat on, gloves, and a trowel.
Where you put the gloves?
We always called them gardener snakes down in PA, and they were usually green. But up here, they had the brown.
But anyway, get to the point. Never mind, Joel.
She got a rake, and she flipped it up into the bucket, and then she went running up the stairs, the outside stairs, in the garage, and out to the backyard. The whole way going, ah!
Died from a heart attack.
Out of the way.
And she just dropped the bucket, and it went on its merry way.
Oh, I don't want to hear that. I want to find a way to kill it.
Meanwhile,
I want it dead so it doesn't come back.
Meanwhile, I was inside watching her do this, going,
exactly.
I hate snakes.
So, yeah. You and her are doing the same thing my wife does, only my reaction is to try to trap it with a rake. A straight rake, and use a pointed edge shovel to chop its head off.
or use your throwing starts, whichever is closest.
I'm getting older and slower, and trying to do that maneuver is getting harder and harder. So I'm thinking of getting a shotgun and just blasting it at close range.
Uh-huh. Not good in the house, though, Barty. Not good in the house.
No. We don't have snakes in the house.
Oh.
Not yet. Well, we did have one time that came up a drain in the basement. We have since blocked that drain and haven't seen one since. So we usually see them in the yard, and I want to go out there and find a way to kill the damn things. You know? And the first few years, when I was young and quicker and stronger, it was easy to trap them with a rake just behind the head, and then take a very sharp pointed edge shovel and chop it right at the edge of the rake and take the head off.
I can see the late night QRM page blowing up with PETA after this episode goes out.
Well, I will tell those PETA people that I'm a member of PETA. I am a person who enjoys eating tasty animals.
With ketchup.
Exactly. Or, you know, mustard, depending on the animal.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
Yeah, you know, I'm a PETA all the way. I'm a person who enjoys eating tasty animals. But snakes to me are not a tasty animal, and I want them dead and out of my yard.
They're not invited. They're not paying rent. Get out.
That's right. That's right. Even if they did pay rent, I don't care. You can take your money and leave.
All right, well, let's get into the first thing where we...
Yeah, really.
You can already tell that we're enjoying adult beverages, so let's to Podcasters.
Who is?
Anonymous.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
All right, Joel, you're first up.
Oh, hello, and by the drink of choice tonight, which helps us get into the podcast zone, is it started off with Jack Daniel's Cinnamon Bourbon. Thanks very much, by the way, Barry, for the tip from the previous show, because I did buy it. It was really good. But then we quickly switched gears to Vodka Collins.
All right. Very good. And I started out the evening with a Jiminy Coke for dinner. Which quickly...
Jiminy what?
Jiminy Coke.
Oh.
Jim Beam and Coke. If you say it fast, it's Jiminy Coke. And I've switched over to a nice... Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay. I'm opening up a bottle of Shipyard Champlain Pale Ale.
That's right, I forgot. Shipwreck is what the show is starting to be.
Shipwreck is brewed up in Copper Harbor. Right.
Isn't it Stone Ship up there? And we just started calling it
Shipwreck, yeah, because that's what happens when you drink a pint of it.
That's an awesome Stones tune, by the way. Yeah.
Joel, you're breaking up.
Joel?
I'm sorry.
Oh, poor Joel. Up with? Somebody better give Joel some medicine. Hello?
Yeah, you're okay now.
I thought I was okay before.
You seem okay to me, Joel.
Sounds like your microphone's crackling in and out.
Was it really? I haven't moved it. I purposely... that's how I killed the last one.
Yeah. Okay, you're good now. Oh, God.
This is too funny.
So far, the connection has been okay.
Okay.
So, don't say it too loud. We'll jinx it.
And we lost, by the way, during that, we lost Michael. He must be, he is mobile in the family truckster. Which, and he's coming back with the whole family in a caravan of roboters, first roboters, and they're coming back from a competition. They're on the road where it looks like they may be going to state champions. We'll find out in a week.
Yeah, to call it the Ghostbusters, they came, they saw, they kicked their ass.
Yeah. The Copperpots from Calumet.
The Copperpots.
Yeah.
Yep.
So They're in the Michigan. They possibly could be in the Michigan State Finals. They're going to find out
very
in a
cool
week or so. But
and
that's
we wish
good
them the best. Keep kicking ass, guys.
Yeah. So, Barty, what do you got?
I'm still drinking brandy.
All right. Okay.
I had some Chardonnay at dinner, and I've moved on to some fine J&B brandy.
Okay.
I'm not sure how fine, but it's kind of tasty. I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
It's wet.
Yeah.
And, Barty's adding
this. It's not
this.
Bad
okay
stuff.
I'm watching.
Nope, Joel's adding Barty's drink.
Yeah. Okay. So, and in the part... we call. Oh, where the hell did I move that to? Hang on, I got so many freaking drop-ins now. I've lost track. Because we haven't played this one in a while, so that's why I've lost it. Where the hell did I put it? Not there, not there, not there. Oh, there it is. Okay. We'll continue with our personal stories in Days of Our Lives.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
That's so sad.
Oh, come on, when was the last time you heard this?
Last week. And that's still too soon.
So, the big story here in New Hampshire, especially out where I live. I'm not sure how much you got, Joel, but it's still snowing.
Feet?
No, just 3 inches today. But we still got 2 feet on the ground. So, I mean, yeah, it's gotten up into the 50s a couple days, and it is slowly melting. I guess it's good that it is slowly melting, because otherwise there could be some major flooding going on. So it is slowly melting, but we still have 2 feet on the ground, and today we got an additional 3 inches.
Ouch. Yeah, we're pretty much the same way. We still have 2-3 feet on the ground here, and we can actually see our mailbox on the road. And last weekend it was kind of freaking me out, because I was doing some cooking in the kitchen, and I kept seeing this object out the kitchen window out of the corner of my eye, and kept whipping my head around to look to see, who the hell is that? And it was the mailbox. I could see the mailbox again, you know? And it was, like, freaking me out, because I kept seeing this thing over there, you know, which I hadn't seen in a couple of months.
Well, I just want to tell you, Fred Marple, he's one of the characters in Frostheaves, which is a local little group that gets together and puts shows on. He says this time of year is when mailboxes start springing up out of the ground.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much the case here, because I can actually see it from my kitchen window now, where I hadn't been able to in a while. So, yeah, we still can't get out of the house out of our front door, because we have a heap of snow there from the roof. Hmm. But we keep chipping away at it, hoping that maybe someday we can get enough warmth from the sun to clear maybe the top step. But I think the only way we're going to get through that is with a pickaxe and really go to town on it. But our front door is still in up. Well, the door works, it's just you don't go anywhere when you open it.
Wow. Well, did I put this in the notes? No, I didn't. The new roof is going to be going on next week on the QRM studios. Oh, yeah, I do have it. I do have it. Actually, it's I'm just going out of order here a little bit. So, but we did notice.
You're the host, you can do that.
Yeah. Once we got all the ice and snow off of the roof, something else developed, which my wife noticed, and I didn't. But the wall up the high part of the wall, because my roof slants in the QRM studios because it's like a dormer room. Mm-hmm. And up at the high point, which is in the middle of, the garage, basically, the ceiling has separated from that wall back there by about a half inch or so. I have a gap.
Nice.
And that's because all the
air conditioning.
All the weight from the roof. The snow and ice on the roof apparently squashed I don't know what happened, but there's a nice separation there now, so that has to be added to the repair.
Yeah. We don't have a separation, but we do have a warping happening. Mm-hmm. In our garage, which is attached to the house, mm-hmm. The garage is big enough to hold 4 cars and goes completely under the house, and they're like 2 bedrooms that are like over the first half of the garage, and then there's a second half that has a roof over it. That part has gotten an excess amount of snow on it, too many winters in a row now, that I think it has warped, because we have a side door that doesn't want to open and close properly anymore, and the right-hand garage door doesn't want to open and close anymore. So I think we're going to have to be doing some structural changes to our garage, to the end of the garage, this summer.
Yeah, we've got a door. Our garage is also attached to the house through a breezeway, and the breezeway is our family room. And the door into the family room is, well, let's say, not closing by itself. I still got to lift up on the handle, and that's because of some heaving that happened. I'm hoping it's going to heave back down. It's getting less and less all the time now, but it's fun. I'm the only one that can close the door because you got to lift the door up by the handle. And
yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But yeah, the new roof is going to be started next week. And of course, we had a panic when we, well, first of all, we got a check from, the insurance company with no explanation, you know, none of the documentation that is supposed to come with it. And, and of course the check was like, oh, that would cover a quarter of the costs. So we were a little upset. And then we finally got the explanation of the work, and you know, our windows alone are going to be like $2,500 to replace. And there was a thing called depreciated, and they depreciated it 1995, which is not, you know, $1,995. I said, how the hell am I going to, I got replacement. How the hell am I going to replace these windows, you know, for $500 basically. And, so we went to the insurance company and they explained, oh no, depreciation isn't what you think it is. It's a bad name. But basically they've had too many times when people have gone for the insurance.
Yeah.
And they write a big check and then the people don't use it to fix their house.
Yeah.
And, so now what they do is they only give you part of it, and then you got, then you're, contractor has to basically show that yes, we fixed the house and everything, and then you get the rest of the payment, and that's the depreciation value.
Yeah, my son went through that. if you recall some of the floods in Milford, he had issues with his home that was messed up, and they pretty much told him that they would pay for all the repairs, but it was on a total reimbursement basis. He had to pay and get the repairs done, submit the cost to them for approval, and then get reimbursed after the fact.
Right.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, totally sucks. You know, I mean, it's great that they'll pay the cost, but, you know, I mean, when something tragic happens to your house, who the hell has a few grand hanging around to fix it?
Exactly. Then you have to go try and get a loan to fix the house. Now you're paying interest, waiting for an insurance check to reimburse it so you can pay the damn loan off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I have a Discover card that I have a Discover card that I can buy a house with. And for some reason my limit on the Discover card is fantastic. So I have a feeling that that's what's going to happen here, as I'll be paying for it with my Discover card, and then when the rest of the insurance checks get here, they'll go to pay off the
Discover card.
Because that's better than having to go and try to get a loan and all that.
Yeah.
Although the interest rate is ridiculous compared to getting a house loan, but it's
easier.
Yeah, and as long as I can do it within a month, there shouldn't be an issue.
Do you get points and all that kind of good stuff?
Oh yeah, I would. That's why I'm going to use the Discover card. Hell, I'm going to add it. I'm going to add a new addition onto the house with the points. So that's what's going on here. The inside work will get done after we get the new roof put on, of course, because, well, you want the new roof because anything you do inside has to be protected. So, yeah. And then, of course, we found that the little critters were too cold outside, and somehow they found a hole to get in the basement.
Well, they always will.
Yeah. Well, we thought we had plugged them all, but then Anne-Marie was down there today, and she had her can of foam, you know, the foam insulation stuff, and she was going through, and she was had a flashlight, and she was up there looking, and she found a couple small holes, and she said, and she sprayed them got them all filled in. Also, they were going upstairs, which means they were going through the wall. So she found a couple holes, of course, where the plumbing goes through. So she sprayed around those so we can, if we're going to have them, at least they'll stay in the basement. And then I got these cool traps because we had these old fashion style traps, you know, where, you know, when it snaps and you got the dead mouse in there, and then you gotta, if you want to take the mouse out of the trap, most people just throw the trapping mouse out at all. I usually, like, I got a special pair of gloves that I shake the mouse off and then throw it out into the woods. And that can kind of get messy, but I found these ones that have, they have a right angle. And you actually, there's a part that sticks up in the middle, which it's a right angle to the trap part. And all you have to do is grab that, push it down. And of course that sets the trap. The part that snaps on the thing now becomes the right angle. And they work great. They actually got little teeth around the edges. So, and then, you put it out there with a little cheese and, bam, you know, we got three of them using those. And the nice thing about that is when it snaps up, of course, the handle goes up. So all you have to do is pick up the back end of the trap and push the handle down a little bit and shake the mouse out and, you know, reset it. Cause usually they don't get to, eat the cheese that's in there. They don't get a chance. So, yeah, we've gotten three so far, and I think Anne-Marie plugged all the holes. So hopefully the little critters, I just hope they didn't have babies in the house. We had that happen one year. Pregnant mom came in, and, that took us a while to get rid of those. But these traps are really cool. I got them at the local hardware store, Bell Tates. And I don't have one up here, so I don't know what the name of it is. I'll put it in the show notes if you know, when I find out what the name is. But very cool traps. I like them. And they're a little more expensive than the 39-cent jobbers you can get, but they're worthwhile because they're reusable and they're nice, sturdy plastic, too. So I recommend them. Anyway, fail point.
Yes.
I have to tell you that before I start with my story, I did get another call from Failpoint, and I'd like to play it now.
That's cool.
Hang on.
Hello, my name is Mahendra MacDaddy. I'm calling from Failpoint Internet. You've recently expressed some concern both to our technicians and online about the quality of your internet connection. And I have noticed this and opened a ticket for you. I'm going to attempt to troubleshoot this for you. So please listen to the solutions I have to offer and see if they work. Okay, now, what I want you to do is check the status of your portal. What is the decay rate on the resonator? Perhaps they have been hacked by another faction changing their alignment. Also, did you try recharging your resonators? Remember, if they lose too much XM, you will lose the portal. Okay, have I answered your question satisfactorily?
No.
Okay, thank you, and good day.
Yeah, MMD made that for me, I gotta say, like 3 weeks ago, and I'm sorry, MMD. The first week, when we came back, I totally forgot to add it. Of course, last week I was on the road, and I was the one coming in from, you know, from another place, and so this week I finally got it on, which means, you know, you'll probably hear it about midsummer.
No, you'll get it out this week.
So, yeah, I appreciated that from Mac Daddy, and thank you very much. That was cool. And so my fail point, and actually, I don't know whether I talked about this last week. So if you've heard this story before, just let me know and I'll stop. But did I tell you guys about? I know I told you about not receiving notification for my e-bills.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I figured out finally why I wasn't receiving those?
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
No, I thought you did.
No,
they changed something around, and then
I did tell you. Okay, then I won't repeat. It was, you know, they changed the website, and when they changed the website, they put two options down at the bottom of the page, which happened to be off the page, underneath the accept button, that basically required you to click them to get any kind of notification that your bill is available. And that's why I was not receiving it, because when they put the new website up, it just defaulted to no notification.
Wonderful. Nice guys.
So, but I have clicked them now, and oh, by God, not only do I get email notification, but I get a text message now, too.
Woohoo! So,
yeah. But as far as internet, it's still
same
crappy.
Old crap.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm just dealing with it. But I, oh, man, last week I was so spoiled. Oh, God. My sister has Fios, Verizon Fios at her house. And, of course, we talked about it last week, but I'm telling you, I'm sitting there, you know, I subscribe to, like, 55 podcasts, okay? Yeah. And some of them are pretty long. I've got a bunch of video ones I watch. And, you know, up here, they start updating, and it's like, some of them will take, like, 15 minutes to download. I'm on my sister's set up down there, Fios, and I'm looking, and five of them pop up, and they're long video ones, and all five of them at the same time go bloop, and they're downloaded at the same time.
Major data pack.
Oh, God. Oh, I almost want to move just to get Fios.
Well, that's a little extreme.
Oh, it was just so nice. I mean, you could literally have the whole neighborhood streaming Netflix from your one account and not phase anything. Yeah, it's, oh, man. Although my sister does have issues with them upping the price all the time or adding something constantly. So, I don't know. It's just, I saw the light, and it is fiber.
Yeah, and we just can't get it.
We won't get it here. Maybe we'll get some competition with the net neutrality rules that are going in. However, I've been hearing, you know, I think that, again, I'm one of these guys where I'm pro net neutrality for some things and not pro net neutrality in other things, because I think it's going to open up competition. I think in the long run, but before we get there, I think all the local big guys are going to start screwing us over.
Well, I think we have to get to a point where we start regulating what people like Time Warner and Comcast can and cannot do. We have to get to a point where they are, by government mandate, not allowed to charge multiple prices for multiple speed access.
And they're going
to do that.
There
has to be one price for internet access, period.
And they're going to do that, because that's what the law says.
But that's
but
not
I,
what
here's,
they're doing
here's
now.
What's, Barty, here's what's going to happen. Yes, not yet, but they just created the law, okay? And we got to go through all those courts battles that are going to happen because of that. But this is what's going to happen in the meantime. I think we are going to start to see caps put on all accounts. And it'll be enough for the average Joe Schmo to watch his stuff. But if you're a cord cutter, Joel.
Yeah.
And you depend heavily on streaming stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to surpass your cap. And then you will either have to make a decision to curtail what you're watching on the internet or pay more.
And see, that's wrong.
Yeah, well...
So, and that's what I would do.
But that's wrong.
But they're going to say, "Hey, it's just like the phone company. You put us into this thing, the same a utility, just like all the other utilities, and utilities pay
not,
for the amount you
not
use."
Not when you come to wireless phone companies.
I've got caps.
I can call worldwide for the same price, or I can call nationwide for the same price, without and for as long as I want, without any restrictions.
Okay.
And
what about your data, Barty?
Internet access should be.
What about your data?
It should be the same thing.
But on your phone right now, you can call anywhere worldwide. How's your data? What's your cap on your data?
That's the point that I'm trying to make, is that there shouldn't be any caps. You pay a flat fee, you should have unlimited amounts of data.
What these companies are going to say is, oh, you just cut our income in half, so we got to do something. And by the way, with these rules that are in place, they're allowed to set caps and pay, and you will pay for overusage, or what they claim is
well,
you know,
if you're
going to make the hogs
a utility, you need to address the fact that access is all they can charge for, and that's it, period.
No, they can meter it. They're allowed
that
to meter.
That should not be allowed. Metering should not be allowed.
Your electric company does it.
They should only charge for access.
Your electric company does it. Your phone company does it. Your wireless phone
company. How does the electric company does it?
You got a meter on your house, don't you?
They just measure how much electricity I use.
Right.
But if I use more electricity than my neighbor, I don't get charged more.
Yes, you
do. I get charged more money because I'm using more,
yeah.
But I don't get charged a higher rate for using
the rate thing's going to go away, Barty. The rates they're going to limit how much they can charge. But what's going to happen is they're going to start putting caps on. So, okay, here's that current rate that we're going to charge, but once you hit your cap, your monthly bill is now maxed out and you're going to pay the same rate but extra for anything over a certain cap. So if you're a heavy user, you're going to pay, your bill's going to go up.
Well, that shouldn't be allowed.
Why? It's usage.
You should simply have...
If you use more data than your neighbor...
I pay a flat fee for my telephone, and I can use it all I want. I can call all over the country with no long distance charges.
Forget about voice, Barty. Forget about voice. We're talking data. Voice.
But data should be the same thing as voice.
Well, it's not, and it's not now. I mean, it used to be unlimited data.
Well, it's not now, but it should be.
Well, it's not going to be. That this thing does not cover that.
Well, that's because major corporations are trying to screw us.
Well,
we need to stop the rich from screwing the poor and make it down to the point where it's just a utility. They charge a flat access fee.
They are.
And that's it.
They're charging a flat access fee.
It should be a certain dollar amount a month to access it, no matter how much you use it.
No. That's not how the electric company works, nor a utility. They charge you for every bit of electricity.
Everybody in New York pays the exact same amount of kilowatt hours of fee.
Yeah.
And if you use more than your neighbor, you pay more than your neighbor.
Right. So if you use more data, you're going to pay more.
More data. If you use less than data, then you're going to go down to the flat rate.
Right. And they could meter it the whole way. They're going to start off by putting caps in. But eventually they could just meter the whole thing. Okay, here's your price. This is the flat rate that the government says we can charge, and that's so much for. I think we lost Barty and brought Barty back.
Yeah, you got two Bartys in there. Awesome.
We got two Bartys in there.
There you are, now it's down to one.
Chrome is going crazy on me here.
Oh, okay. Can you still hear us? So, but they could meter.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're fine. Yeah, they're going to meter it. They could meter it, and then the heavy users, well, they pay more because they use the network more. And you know, it is fair, truly is fair, but it's going to suck if you're a heavy user like I am.
It'll teach you to be not a heavy user.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yeah,
that's someone that comes up with their own version of the net.
Well, that could happen
too. I
think that
kind of plays in the hand of a lot of cable companies, you know, where people are like cutting the cable in exchange for going on to the internet and getting all the same television programming.
Yep.
You know, especially when companies like Netflix starts producing their own shows, and you don't need network programming to get to them.
Oh yeah, and can you imagine if you're watching? And now you know, even Netflix is going to start. You know, streaming 5K. Can you imagine? Or 4K, sorry. Can you imagine what you're going to pay if it's metered to watch a 4K movie? You know? That's what they're going to do. And, oh, by the way, if you think the politicians are going to say, oh, we're going to stop that. Yeah, no, they're not. Because guess what big corporations are paying... the politicians and got them in their back pocket.
Exactly.
It's a game. The whole thing's a freaking game.
Well, everything's a game. And, you know, that's the way everything works.
The money-making game.
So, is it better the way it is now? No. I mean, it's not fair that these guys can, oh, well, we have our own streaming service, so we're going to crank up the price to Netflix, or we're going to charge for both ends. We're going to charge our customers with a price, and we're also going to charge the providers. That's not fair. Oh, we're going to slow you down because we don't want you using our network. Okay, well, that's what net neutrality is going to fix. They won't be able to do that, but they're going to find a way to get their money. And one way is metering. And I think that's going to be the next big thing. Now, with more competition, maybe the metering will go away, because we saw all the wireless networks with their datas. They suddenly, everybody was putting caps on. Well, now companies like T-Mobile.
Yeah, T-Mobile, no
they're
caps.
They're doing no caps, unlimited data. More competition, okay, next thing you know, some of the people, like with mine, I got AT&T, I have a cap. But they have rollover data now. So if I don't use all my data in 1 month, it rolls over to the next month.
And then you got people like me who live in a rural area with a crappy internet access where I can't really stream high-definition videos at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't watch any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who wants to watch standard def? You know, I could rent that shit, you know, or download it for free.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to pay Netflix to get crappy video, you know.
Well, most of Netflix is high def now.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is my internet access isn't good enough to stream it in high def.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I suffer what I suffer. I've got one choice.
Exactly.
And you've got
I get
one
lots
choice.
Of pauses and breaks, so, and I can't stand that, so maybe, I don't even bother.
Maybe net neutrality in the long run will allow more competition in, because, and I don't like the fact that my town gets to pick and choose the cable company, and that's the only cable company that's allowed to do anything in our town.
Yeah, that's kind of wonky right
now. Because don't want to come out. It doesn't pay them.
The fact is they don't want five different companies running the same cable from street to street. You know, it's just the same thing like, but then when telephones were first being run around, they didn't want, you know, 18 companies running 18 sets of cables and then not having this phone be able to talk to that phone because it's different companies.
But the problem is without this competition,
they build monopolies.
The problem is without this competition, there is no line that comes out to my house at all.
Exactly. I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. Because, well, there's only one guy in town, and he doesn't want to put a line out to my house. If there was competition, one of them might want to put a line out.
The only options I have is DirecTV or Dish Network.
And I'd like to see more companies do some wireless stuff, because, hell, if the phone companies can get... Hell, I've got better download and upload speeds on from AT&T than I do from my internet.
Well, the only reason I have cell phone access at my house at all is because the company bought me a Verizon network extender.
Yeah.
So because I'm on call frequently.
Yeah. And so I've got.
I would not have cell coverage out here.
Yeah. So, but you know, I think initially when all this goes through, we're going to get screwed and we're going to pay through the nose. But in the long run, it may get better. But we're going to have to go through a lot of pain before we get there, I think. And I don't expect the government to be helping us out any. You know, what I expect is, I expect all this freedom now that's happening to have companies like Google say, oh, well, now I can go in and offer something, or maybe I can put up a wireless system and not get in trouble because Comcast is trying to, you know, say this is our territory, you can't come into it. And that actually happened with the satellite companies for a while. Just for vision, when I lived in Peterborough, I bought a DirecTV dish, okay? And I was DirecTV. I moved 10 miles into Jaffrey, and I could no longer get DirecTV. I had to go through Pegasus, which was a company that provided DirecTV access. But I had to switch and change over to Pegasus, and I paid my bills to Pegasus. And, oh, yeah, they added a little bit.
Yeah, I bet.
But that's because in the beginning, that was all divvied up. And, there, you know, Pegasus had Jaffrey, and the line was between Jaffrey and Peterborough. And for the longest time, I was with Pegasus, even though I was getting DirecTV. And finally, that all went away, and I got on DirecTV. You know,
probably because DirecTV bought out Pegasus or something.
Nah, I forget what happened. They had an agreement, or I think a law changed or something that said they couldn't do that anymore. But, I, you know, again, the same stuff's going to happen here, but we're going to pay until that all gets sorted out. And
yeah, more competition, right.
The more competition, the prices will start going down and, you know, the caps will go away and everything. But I think the next couple of years, once the court battles are done, and yeah, don't think the government's going to help us because they're all in the pockets of the all these people.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all rich guys in the government, and, yeah, you know, they're all making money off of this. So, of course, they're going to keep wanting to continue to make money.
Yeah. So anyway, we all did that. We kind of went down that rabbit hole from fail point, so we probably should move on. Joel has a story here about Top Gear.
Exactly. It's for those who, all seven people who've listened to this show in the past, thank you for your continued listening and your punishment. But you will have heard that my favorite television program of all time is, and was, I should say now, Top Gear from the BBC. Not the American Top Gear, because that sucked. And it was poorly done, and nothing but a very, very bad rehash of what had already been done by James Kay, Jeremy Clarkson, and Richard Hammond from Top Gear from the UK. Well, it turns out, through a series of events, that Jeremy Clarkson has been sacked from the BBC. His contract will not be renewed for Top Gear. Meaning, and he was the host of the show. Next came on, you know, James May, and then Richard Hammond. And actually, no, it's the other way around. And these three guys had a chemistry. They had a chemistry that just clicked. It just worked. And they became and are very, very, very good friends in real life. You know, not just the characters on the show. That said, with Jeremy Clarkson being sacked, the other two had also said, yeah, Top Gear's over. We're not doing it. It's a very real possibility that we will not do the show because Jeremy's not there.
Because their contracts Jeremy's was up first at the end of March, and I think the other two, their contracts are up at the end of April or May or something like that.
But in following the story more closely, because I so enjoy the chemistry of those three gentlemen as they work together, whether they're talking about cars or whether they're on one of those crazy trips that they used to go on in Top Gear where they weren't even talking about cars at times. It's so comical, so entertaining, so informative that there has been talk that, ready for this, I'm kind of circling back around to what you guys were just saying. Netflix may actually pick up all three actors and give them their own show.
Woohoo!
Or presenters. They're not actors. They're presenters.
Now, I will tell you that Anne-Marie read something on the internet today, and this would be, I think, bad for us. But apparently, Jeremy Clarkson got a deal, an offer from Russian television.
Yes. Yes. However, again, he's got to do what's best for him.
Right, right.
But realistically, his biggest fan base is English speaking.
Right. Yes, I don't know how he would do a Russian show.
Exactly. So, he did well with the syndicated version of Top Gear in Russia.
That would blow.
But really, his biggest, you know, all their biggest fan base is English speaking. So, you know, I fingers crossed, they will be back on television, the three of them, the three amigos, if I want to call them, three musketeers together, hosting something.
Right.
But in the interim, for all those who've watched, you know, season 20, what are we up to now, Barry? 22?
Yeah, something like that.
Of Top Gear, they obviously, maybe the BBC had canceled the next weekend's show until they had come up with a verdict to decide what to do about Jeremy.
Right.
And the incident that got him sacked, which we're going to get into a little bit. I guess I can get into it a little bit now, can't I, Barry?
We don't have to go in order. So if you want,
okay.
I would just want to tell people that even though Top Gear may be going, you will always have Bottom Gear.
Hello and welcome
Joel, I have to interrupt you here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I have to tell you that the board here of QRM Studios got together, and they did find out about the incident.
And what incident might that be that you referred to?
Well, I'll get to it. But the incident that occurred a couple of years ago, they finally heard about it, and I'm sorry, but I have to announce to you that you tell you and announce to the people that you have been fired from Bottom.
No!
What?
No!
This is preposterous.
You have been fired.
No, you can't do that!
Yes, the incident we're talking about is, and you know it because you talked about it here on Late Night QRM.
Was it Burger King onion rings?
No, no, although that could be an incident in itself also.
Was it breaking the air conditioning in a Prius?
No, it is the dreaded McDonald's incident.
Well, now that may have been taken out of context.
Where's the bum bum bum?
Oh, party!
Yep, he's right. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for the bumpers.
Let's see. Oh, no, that's not it. Where the hell is it?
Can you tell we're a little rusty?
No, that's not it. No, that's not it either. Oh, God, where is it?
Never mind, Barry. You blew it.
Holy cow!
That's not it either.
That's close.
I'm Vicodin Man.
Vicodin Man.
There you go.
Now that suspense has been drained from the moment.
Joel, why don't you remind our listeners about the McDonald's incident?
Well,
you make the accused talk about the incident.
Oh, by the way, Joel is only banned as being the host of Bottom Gear. He can still do stories, and of course, he's always welcome on Late Night QRM, the regular podcast.
Well, that's gracious of you. However, Bottom Gear being closest to my heart, part of the biggest chunks of my black little heart, I should say that if I must, I will recap for those who may have missed said incident, which I personally think was fully justified. However, apparently the staff...
The board.
The board.
The board.
Of QRM Studios.
Yeah, you know that creepy one in the corner.
Yes. 2x4. It's a... It says the word "the board" written on it. decided that my actions are a punishable offense unless otherwise spelled out. So to clarify, a little while ago, a few years ago, I worked as a part-time on a private police force for a local business, an auction house here in the great state of New Hampshire. We were a fully armed police force, private security.
Left and right.
So, I happened to be... Yes, thank you. One of these days, it was on my way after my full-time job. I had donned my uniform, my bulletproof vest, my BDUs, my duty boots. I just heard a bottle open.
Continue. Gets your attention.
While wearing...
It's like a dog hearing a bag open, you know?
While wearing my duty belt and obviously my Smith & Wesson M&P 40 sidearm, I was starving hungry because I had just worked a full-time day and now I had to go to my part-time job. So I thought, shit, as much as I hate to eat fast food, I really don't have much of a choice. at this gate. I'll eat while I'm driving to work. So I decided I'll shoot through this drive-thru at a local McDonald's and grab a burger or a chicken sandwich or something like that, and that should hold me over. Well, as it happened, as I was pulling around the building, I guess several people saw, while driving my little Toyota Camry at the time, that it was someone in uniform of an official-looking nature. And when I went through the drive-thru, I heard that, "Welcome to McDonald's, what do you want?" or words to that effect. And I thought, oh, we have a sharp one on the other end of the microphone.
Typical druggie.
Teenage kids, moron. So I thought, whatever. I give me a number, you know, one, and a Coke. Plain and simple, can't make it much simpler than that. And I pulled around. Okay, pull around the second window. Alrighty, I'll pull around to the second window. Heard the moron. Pull around to the second window, and I'm waiting for them to slide this window open, and I keep noticing someone looking from the kitchen, walking forward, and kind of looking out the window. And looking out the window, and then the kid that's over there talking to the other kid who's looking out back. And then it's taken an exceedingly long period of time for something that's typically, what, 45 to 50 seconds, and it's out the in the bag and out the window to you in the car.
Right.
And I thought, this is weird. Why do these kids keep talking? And they come back, and they look through the window, and the kid comes in the window and says, that's going to be whatever the hell the price was, $9.73. So I'm like, okay, and he looked, and he can see, I'm watching where his eyes are looking. I got right across the front of my chest in my uniform where it said, private security, yada, yada, yada. And you can see where I got my duty belt, keep all my shits in the car. I just tossed it on the seat. And this guy, so I hand him the money. I said, okay, here you go. He takes it, gives me the change. Then the window closes. Now, typically at that part of the transaction, the bag would come right out immediately with the food and the drink, usually the drink, then the bag. Mm-hmm. So, but not this time. The window closes. And it wasn't bad weather, so it wasn't like you need to close it to keep the weather out. It was a nice, summer's afternoon. And then I see the bag come from the back of the kitchen. I don't think much of anything of it. Kid goes, "Yeah, here's your stuff. Thank you." Hands you this bag to the window. I'm like, okay, you obviously teenage kids are all stupid as far as I'm concerned. So, and we all went through those weird-ass teenage phases. So I'm thinking no big deal. I'm thinking mostly, I got to get to work. What if I hit traffic? Oh, crap, blah, blah, blah. And I get to the lights, and I take the left, and I'm heading towards the highway. And you know how you're reaching the bag that's on the passenger seat with all my other shit, my coat and my other crap over there? I shove it over there trying to get the burger out. I get this burger out. I pop open the box, and I'm thinking, all right, I got to stuff some napkins on around my collar because I don't want to drip kind of ketchup or sauce down the front of my uniform. And while I'm trying to eat a Big Mac while driving, I take the sandwich, I get it out, I open it up, and I got a mouthful of grit, salt, soil, and I don't want to know what else as far as crunchy. And you take that first bite into the sandwich, and I'm thinking, what the hell did I just bite into? And I thought, I pulled over. Before I actually took the lights and merged onto the highway, I pull over to the side of the road, and I open the top bun of the sandwich to, as best as I can deduce, see a sandwich that had all the dirt from the floor sweepings sprinkled across the top of my sandwich. And I don't mean like, a crunchy piece of this or that. I mean like the rock salt from your shoes, the dust, the everything from when they were traipsing the boxes from in and out of on the top of my sandwich. And I'm like, you little fucker. And I thought, he saw the uniform. Apparently has a problem with anybody in any kind of authority or security or police-like figure.
Yeah, really.
And decided to pull a little fucking fast one. Now, and here I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to drink the Coke to wash, to spit out and wash out what's in my mouth because I don't know what the fuck you put in the Coke. Mm-hmm. But I was pissed. So much so, I thought, you know what? I ain't turning around. I'm not going to work. I'm turning around. So I turned around, went up an exit, turned around, came down an exit, got off. It was before the highway, but I was kind of like stuck where I had to get on to get off. I decided I'm going through the drive-thru again. And but this time I came in a different entrance, so I wasn't passing all the windows along the front of the store. And I place an order, and it's the same, yeah, hello, yes, okay, takes the order. And I just made up a bogus order, and I go around to the front to the window where now the timing is normal again. You pull up to the window, it's usually 20, 25 seconds, the window opens. Hi, that'll be 18, or, you know, 973. And the kid turns and looks as he opens up the window, and it's me. Well, without saying a word, I may, allegedly, actually, no, I did, reached out a 1990 Camry that I happened to be driving into the window where the kid was leaning out of with his arm and yanked him through the drive-thru window and horizontally into the window of my car, where we decided to have, and I decided we were going to have a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I basically said, so you got a problem with anybody in an authority position? Anybody wearing bulletproof vests protecting your stupid ass? Anybody in a police position? One who enforces the rules? And I said, and so to show that, you filled my sandwich full of dirt and crud, you little piece of shit. And naturally, once he became horizontal, I could hear the screaming from inside the restaurant because his feet were hanging horizontally in at the drive-through window. So they probably realized there was a problem. And I said, we're going to have an issue. And I shoved him back out. And, he, of course, he kind of fumbles and flops. And I drive around to the side of the restaurant, park, and decide, I'm going in. No, not thinking, because I was, again, I should have thought it through a little bit more clearly, but, you know, when a guy walks in wearing a 40 caliber handgun on his belt and a bulletproof vest with a bag of McDonald's full of dirt on it, really pissed off at 6 foot five at three at the time, about 330 pounds, you probably have a problem on your hands that you do not want to have to deal with if you're on the other
exactly.
end of that counter. And, I walked in, and I addressed the manager. Yeah, I'm going to call the cops. I said, call the cops. I want you to call the police. And then while you do that, aside from the fact they're all personal friends of mine, I'm going to call, and I've already taken photographs of this food, every single solitary news source, every newspaper, WMUR News, and post this on the internet. About the service and the condition of how law enforcement individuals will receive their food from this particular establishment. Call them, please. I'm looking forward to it. I have a mouthful of dirt and crud from that little snot-nosed shit over there putting dirt on my sandwich. Please call them. And she said, I said, you know what? Never mind. I'll call them. So I called up the local town's police department, and I said, hey, you guys want to come over here? Because there's an incident, there's a situation that needs to be addressed. And they thought I was buffing. I called them. They're friends of mine.
Yeah.
Audible. So they walk in, and they're like, oh, shit. And, of course, one of the guys who happened to be on patrol at his age, what's going on? And I said, dude, I said, Officer so-and-so, I said, you need to take a look at this. I said, because I want a law. I'm thinking I might want to lodge a complaint and file charges against that young man right there. And they're, whoa, the manager starts freaking out. I says, and then at the same time, I'm dialing on my phone, WMUR News. Well, it went from where, by all accounts, luckily for me, the little shit had just turned 18. Because you would have been a minor. That could have gone a little sideways for me. But lo and behold, not only was there no charges filed, but I actually was asked not to to contact any of the news agencies and got free food for about a year out of it.
Yeah, well, some prize, free food from McDonald's.
Yeah, like, I know.
Die, motherfucker.
Well, realistically, though, I wanted to make a point. And I made a point. And when the police have to file a report for that sort of thing, when I call them in, regardless, if you call them, they got to file a report. And so needless to say, in making my point, the young man was dismissed from his job, obviously. And the manager was reprimanded. And needless to say, I've never frequented that McDonald's again in that town. But the whole point being is that someone have said that that may be a little bit assertive and aggressive, snatching somebody through a drive-thru window in your car.
Well, the board,
I don't think so.
The board at QRM Studios does think that way, but it doesn't mean that their minds can't
be changed. I think the board is
wrong.
That board should be ripped up off the floor and thrown out the window.
Well, it just so happens, Barty, that
Joe back.
It just so happens, Barty, that I heard that you have already started, while Joel was telling his story, bring Joel back
campaign
to get Joel back as host of Bottom Gear. And after you finish listening to this podcast, you will be able to go on the QRM, the late night QRM community on Google Plus, and we'll have a poll up there. Which will be, yes, keep Joel and bring or let Joel come back. I don't know. I'll have to figure it out first. Or no.
Bring Joel back. Joel back.
and we'll have a poll and we'll see what the results are.
Of the seven listeners. Okay. So that means I need at least.
Let the proletariat speak. Bring Joel back.
I need at least four of you to pull in my favor. That's a majority rule.
And unlike the BBC, we have no morals here at Late Night QRM or Bottom Gear. And
or we can't tell time either. That's where the podcast is.
So please, when the poll appears, please vote on whether to bring Joel back.
Bring Joel back. Bring Joel
or
back.
No, Joel should be banned from Bottom Gear forever.
No.
Joel is Bottom Gear. Bring Joel back.
Come on.
That leads me
Barty.
To believe that I am the Jeremy Clarkson of Bottom Gear.
You are. You are.
QRM.
Without Joel, there is no Bottom Gear.
Barty, it doesn't matter how the poll comes out. He's coming.
I was just having fun with it, damn it.
Oh, my gosh. So... In circling back around, aside from the fact that the board at
QRM, Joel, you cannot host the show this time. We're handing the reins over to Barty for the show.
I have a show.
Me?
Yeah. I've been shut down.
Yes.
Where the hell? Uh-oh.
Barty, it's your show for today. For this show, anyway.
So when you talk about a fan being noisy, are you talking about yourself, Barry? I gotta plug in my MacBook Pro because I've been notified that my battery is running low.
No, it's not me. Even though I am a fan. Where the hell is my short version of? Where? That's the long one. This one.
Oh, Jesus.
Of my Prius.
Oh no! Not that. Here it goes. Brace yourself.
Turn it up.
Turn it off.
Yes, my Prius developed over the winter a noise in the fan, at the environmental fan, I shall say.
Well, I thought that was caused by Joel eating.
Well, we don't know what the cause is. I did take it into Dr. Kenny to get an oil change. He was going to take a look at that, but he didn't get it in until kind of the end of the day. And I didn't realize at the time that the next day I was going to be going down to Pennsylvania. So he only got a chance to do the oil change. And we still have the occasional fan noise that sounds something like.
Really?
Which is can be annoying.
How was that again?
Oh, I got to clean the spit off my
screen. You know what? You do this
screen.
So well, you must have heard it a lot.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, usually if you bring up the environmental console on the touchscreen and you turn the fan off and then you put it back on auto, many times that will solve the problem. But every once in a while you go over a pothole or a frost heave and it starts up again. So,
how's it go again?
That actually hurts my throat.
Thank you.
you were a wood. But you're doing it like a trained monkey.
Anything for the show. So we still have to, I still have to take it back to Dr. Kenny to get that fixed, and hopefully it's just something like it needs either something stuck in it, or you know, the bearings need a little grease or something. Hopefully I won't need a new fan. I don't know what kind of fan it is. I should look it up on the internet and see. But so that's that. And my only other news is next week. Well, next week I was making the positive decision that the snow tires were coming off and the seasonal radials were going to come back on. But we got 3 inches of snow today. So I don't know. Actually,
inches ain't shit.
But the roads were all clear today. So so I think that the snow tires are coming off for the season next week. Yeah. And then the only other thing was, on my trip down to Pennsylvania, the Prius went over 190,000 miles.
Woohoo!
So, and it will be 10 years old in June. So, yeah. So, and other than the fan, which is, you know, making that noise.
The fan!
it's been very good. It's been baddie, baddie good to me.
Betty.
So, Joel, you have a story. Oh, I'm sorry, oh, Barty. Barty's hosting this. Bill, Barty. Back to you, Barty.
Joel, please relay us a story in the most humorous way that you can.
Well,
snow tires.
As it happens, yes, when I'm jumping on your snow tire bandwagon, I decided that I was, in fact, going to remove the snow tires, as I do work in another state. Mm-hmm. The state I work in, Massachusetts, they're not legal to have studded snow tires on a car after April 1. Mm-hmm. So, time being an issue, I decided to go up to Dr. Kenny's Thursday night and put my car up on the lift and
what
pull
car?
The tires off. Goldfinger.
Barry was on that one.
Yes, he was.
I saw it coming in the show notes.
So, what I figured I'd be there a couple of 3 hours, you know.
Yeah, you Kenny get together. Yeah, that's going to be a couple 3 hours.
Yeah, well, I got there. Let's see, I left work at 4. It took me 2 hours to get there.
Oh, shit.
So, there's 6. And I didn't leave there again until 10 after 10.
Whoa!
Yeah. I had one of those incidents with Kenny, too. Because I went to pick up my car and ended up there for a couple hours just chatting with him.
Yeah, you just end up talking and chatting and shooting a shit. And you have a good time while you're there. And the next thing you know, like, hours have flown by.
Yeah.
And you're like, shit,
that's like a good place to get your car worked on.
Yeah, it's great.
He's a hell of a guy. He's super smart. Really, it's a genuine, nice person. And, you know, it's... So, yeah, it started off, put my car up on the rack, blah, blah, pull all the tires, bust them off the rims, put the other tires on. Oh, Michael's talking to us somewhere. And lo and behold, 10 minutes after 10, I'm like, all right, brother, I got to get rolling because I still have an hour and 10-minute drive to get home. And then I still got to get up and go to work in the morning. But, you know, the nice thing is where other establishments could charge up to $90 to put your car in the air, take the tires off, take those rims off those tires, put your radials on, so you're mounting them, new valve stems, balance the wheel, and then mount it onto the car. For times four, it cost me $20.
Whoa!
Yeah.
But I did the work.
Back there.
I did the work because as Kenny and I, he said, dude, you did all the work. I'm like, yeah, well, I said, but, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's just nice to use this tool. So basically, I paid your tool rental
for his lift. And the lift rental.
Yeah, a lift rental, exactly. And use all and put and new valve stems that he supplied and new tire weights.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it was good. They got Goldfinger all done, and it does ride nicer with the bigger radials on it. Absolutely rides better. I still got two more cars to do, though.
Which one do you have? What's next?
The next one will be Wilson.
Oops.
The fuck was that?
I wasn't in the app.
Wilson! That was Wilson falling on his ass.
Wilson! Yes, because Wilson does a lot of traveling in and out of Massachusetts still.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so he's next.
Yeah.
And then after Wilson, because my wife's car always stays in New Hampshire or north, as a rule of thumb, will be Daisy.
This car is not a computer.
I have to cut this down. I definitely have to cut this down.
Yes, so Daisy will be last, and then they're all geared up. Luckily, I got the studded, awesome traction, rah, 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 snow tires off of Goldfinger just in time for the God-blessed snow.
Well, I'll tell you. 3 inches, right?
Well, Barry got 3 inches. I mean, it was snowing here actively, but nothing stuck to the street.
And up here, we literally got 3 inches of snow, but there's so much salt and stuff on the roads that the roads were clear. It was just on the driveways
We can't use salt
yards.
On the roads here. So we just throw dirt down. And for 3 or 4 inches, we don't really worry about it.
Yeah,
we didn't do anything here either. There's not
we
one.
Just throw dirt on it.
They're all running out. Well, they didn't put any salt down here. It's just already on the road. So nothing.
We don't salt the roads here because people have wells.
Yeah, we do too, but they don't care. You say you get salty water.
Ooh.
Nah,
okay.
I don't know. They do salt here. The only places they don't salt is around wetlands.
Wetlands.
Otherwise known as swamps.
Oh, yeah, you got
swamps.
All that environmental bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Must be nice to live in a liberal state that worries about shit like that.
Mm. Yeah, it's great.
I'll take New Hampshire over New York any damn day.
Yeah, to be honest,
so will I. This is a pretty fascist state.
If my worst worry is the fact of the matter is I can't put salt down on a bridge over a wetland, you know what? I'll take that. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I guess, so I mean, that's the last one to do would be Daisy, and I plan on getting Daisy done next weekend, and then they'll all be done, and one my big goal is going to be is to buy a spare set of steel rims for all the cars, mount the studded snow tires to those, and then I don't have to go through the rigmarole of taking tires off of rims. I can just take the whole tire rim on and off,
yeah,
bolt the next one on, and be done with it.
Right.
And that's do that great. In the driveway.
Yeah. It's better on a lift, though.
It's a lot easier. I don't mind doing it in the driveway. The hardest part is breaking the tire off of the rim.
Yeah.
And then mounting the new tire on, then you got to rebalance it.
Yep.
That's the pain in the ass part. Taking tires off
and
on a car.
Yeah, if you already got tires on the rims and balance, you don't have to worry about that shit.
Right, exactly. Five lug nuts, and I can flip-flop them right out, and I'm done.
A floor jack, it's simple as hell.
Yeah, exactly. I actually jack up one whole half of the car. So, like, the whole driver's side, both tires are in the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You put it in the center and jack it all up. Okay.
No. Well, yeah, exactly. So you lean it over on one side, change two. Lean it over on the other side, change two. You're done.
Yeah.
You can put them up on jack stands if you want, if you get that fussy about it.
Yeah, way too much time for me to worry about it.
I'm with you, Joe.
All right. Well,
so that's the end of Bottom Gear.
Yeah.
And congratulations on the Prius on approaching 200,000.
Get there.
You have to keep us posted when it crosses that limit.
Oh, definitely. I'll be watching that and probably snapping a picture of it. So, app reviews. Michael was going to review Meerkat, which I have briefly looked at, but Michael's has actually used, which is taking the internet by storm the past couple of weeks, maybe a month or so. And it is a app that is only iOS, from what I understand.
What's it do?
And it allows you to do live streaming. And what it does is it goes into your Twitter account, and it will notify everybody in your Twitter, or whoever you're following, or whoever's following you on Twitter, that you're about to stream something live, video live, and it gives them a link, and then they can click on the link and they can watch your video live. Well, this was all great, and it's become the rage, which is kind of cool. Oh, the other thing too is you can add hearts. It's like liking, but as you tap the screen, it sends hearts up and stuff like that. And they have a little leaderboard and stuff like that in this thing. So that's kind of cool. That's Meerkat. Well, Twitter heard about Meerkat and how they were using their service, and Twitter recently bought an app or company that makes an app called Periscope, which basically does the same thing. So Periscope came out this week, but before Periscope came out, Twitter was starting to make it very difficult for Meerkat to use its API.
They were
causing all sorts of issues. Now, you can still use Meerkat, and apparently it's still Twitter's. So I don't know whether they've just been keeping up with Twitter or what's going on, because it still works. But now there's Periscope. And Periscope, from what I've read by people that have been reviewing these two apps, is eventually going to win out. Not just because it's a Twitter thing, but because it has a few more features, like you can do the live stream, and it will notify you, and it even has the same little hearts and stuff when you tap. But it also allows you to save off certain ones so people can go back and look at it at another time, which Meerkat doesn't do. It's live or it's not, and you don't get to see it again. Now, Meerkat allows you to save a video that you streamed, but that's local, and then you'd have to post it somewhere else yourself. Whereas you can, if you've got Periscope, you can get a list of the ones that are saved off, and you can sit there and watch them live. So it's kind of neat. I've watched some. I haven't actually Periscoped or Meerkat yet. I don't know whether I will. Although it would be kind of cool to stick my iPhone 5 in the holder in the car sometime and maybe do a streaming thing through Jeffrey
sometime. Oh, yeah.
So I might try that. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with this. Right now, Meerkat's all the rage. Periscope is a close second. And we'll see what happens. But that's those two apps in a nutshell. And you can pick the one you want. I kind of do favor I actually downloaded Periscope before I downloaded Meerkat, and I kind of like Periscope because of the fact that you can go and look at previously recorded.
Well, if they're more tightly integrated with Twitter, yeah, chances are that in the long run they're going to win out.
Yeah, I think they are too. And Meerkat, they're going to probably try to set up their own network. They can still send, you know, a Twitter from you or a tweet from you, because I don't think Twitter can stop them from sending a tweet. But the fact is that they may not be able to get your who you're following or who's following you from Twitter, that list. So that might make it a little more difficult. But but they're kind of cool. Now, I know Michael may have more to say about it, maybe on the next show, because I think we've lost Michael for tonight. Because, you know, he's on the road. And but he actually used, during First Robotics, he was actually Meerkatting some stuff. And he mentioned that he was going to Meerkat, and he texted, and I texted back to him. I said, "Meerkat? Oh, that's so last week." everybody's using Periscope now, and he was asking me about it, so he was going to...
He said, Periscope down.
No, well, he was going to download it, and I don't know whether he got... I don't know which one he used, because, frankly, if he used one, I missed both of them. He was going to try Meerkat, and then he was going to try Periscope, but I don't know whether he got a chance, so it'll be interesting to hear from Michael, because he's actually streamed something from it, and maybe by next show I'll have streamed something too to let you know. But we'll see what happens with these, whether they're gonna stick around to the last. I think it's, you know, I'm looking at this and saying, hey, that's pretty cool. If you get stopped or something, you can record, just, you know, we're safe in case you run into, you know, somebody that's not the best police officer in the world or something. You can, you know, it's nice to have it on video. Yeah. I mean, they're gonna
never happens. Right?
They're gonna start doing it, so I don't see why we can't start doing it right back. But as you can see,
I don't have an app review, but I do have a hardware preview. Okay. I can't recall it a full review yet because I've only just gotten it. But I did get a 4K monitor for my Mac Pro. What I picked up isn't officially approved for a Mac Pro, but it is a 4K monitor. It's a 32-inch HP Envy, and this screen is gorgeous. Wow. I hook it up to my Mac Pro via a HDMI cable, and I get a really large, beautiful screen, and editing pictures in Photoshop. I tell you, the detail you see is just amazing. And trying to edit movies in it is, I use a Premiere, and trying to edit movies that I shoot with my Nikon, I have a D7000, and trying to edit it, the clarity is so much more improved than what I was using. I had an iMac that I was using as the monitor to my Mac Pro, mm-hmm. Connecting up through a mini display port cable, yeah. And the HP I connect through a HDMI cable, and the screen resolution is just amazing. It's great, the kind of things you can do with it, and it actually seems to be a lot faster, which is kind of nice. One of the things that's really nice is that it has Beats Audio built into it. It's got stereo speakers on the sides, and it's really the sound quality is amazing. It's really great. It's it frees up desk space because you don't have to have a separate set of speakers because it's built into the monitor, and it's nice. Very small and extremely vibrant, and the stereo separation is awesome.
Wow.
So it's really kind of great. When you're working with a movie and you're trying to separate sounds on left and right,
mm-hmm.
you can clearly hear it on left and right, and some of the sounds that you want in the middle are right up front, right in your face.
Nice.
So it's a very, very excellent monitor. So if anybody's thinking trying to find an inexpensive 4K monitor that you can hook to your Mac Pro, it's not Mac Pro approved, and HP admits that, and Apple does not list it as being approved, but it works fine with the 2013 Mac Pro computer.
Nice.
And you can get it for like about $4.5 from Amazon right now.
Not bad at all.
It's an excellent 4K? Price because most 4K monitors are like over $1,000.
Yeah.
And this one is to me budget priced.
Yeah.
And I was not expecting to get this kind of quality at that price. Yeah. But it is pretty stunning.
Wow.
You know, maybe for $2,000 you might get something that's more stunning, but I'll tell you that for $450, I really can't complain about this because it's pretty awesome.
That's more in the budget for you know, the hobbyist, you know. if you know your hobby is taking pictures and editing them or doing movies and stuff like that, where you're not doing it for a business, you know, this is a perfect
I agree with you because, you know, if I was doing this as a business, I think I would want to spend more money to get one that is truly tested and matched to the Mac Pro.
Mm-hmm.
But for a hobbyist, the quality compared to, like, using it on an iMac that I was using it on is pretty astounding. Yeah. You know, especially since you can do a lot of this stuff on the new 5K iMac that came out, but you can't hook a Mac, the 2013 Mac Pro to it and use the 5K abilities of the new 5K iMac with your Mac Pro. Mm. Which is odd. The older iMacs you can, and that's what I have, and that's what I've been doing ever since I got the Mac Pro. Yeah. But this screen is much more vivid, and you have more controls over a lot of the picture qualities that you can look at. The color choices that you can make, you can set it to you know, the monitor's natural capability, which is really sharp, or you can go to Adobe. I forget what year, 1998, that their standard. You can set it to professional photo. You can set it to anything that's going to match your printed output. So you can see on the screen, and Adobe matches to it exactly. So when you change the monitor and you go into one of the Adobe products and tell it matches the monitor, so you know what you're going to see when you get your output, which is really kind of handy.
Cool. Well, that sounds neat.
So, you know, if anybody has a Mac Pro and is looking for a 4K monitor, this is a really good quality budget choice. Mm. But, you know, I agree with Barry that this is mainly a hobbyist type choice to make. Mm-hmm. If you're a professional, you're probably going to want to spend $2,000 and get one that has been certified and tested by Apple to work with the Mac Pro.
$2,000 for a 4K.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I mean, I Amazon is selling this thing for like $4,500, and the quality is awesome.
Cool.
I don't have a $2,000 monitor to compare it to, but I can say that the results I'm getting with it in a preliminary basis is pretty excellent.
Yeah. Hey, last week, did you guys happen to talk about the new MacBook that came out?
No, we did not.
I don't know whether we can mention it here. I mean, again, what's with the thinness thing? Oh, it's the thinnest MacBook that's ever been created. And by the way, they've dropped Air. I don't know whether Air is going to be around anymore. It's now just called a MacBook, which, you know, I think that's what the lower-priced ones used to be called. Just MacBook.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And,
You're right.
But it's super thin, has some cool things. It's almost all battery inside. They actually overlay the batteries. They were showing how they stack the batteries and fit in the thing. The frickin' motherboard, and I know they call it something else in Apple, but it's the motherboard.
It's a motherboard.
The motherboard is like a small rectangle that's like maybe an inch by 3 inches, and it sits at the top of the thing, and the rest of it is battery. So it gets like 10 hours of battery life on it.
Yep.
Now, and they've got a new keyboard, which is supposed to be very cool. I haven't tried one out, but instead of the old spring-loaded one, it's a butterfly type thing, which makes the keys supposedly better, easier to... What the hell are you?
I think that board in the corner is getting creaky again.
Oh, I squashed a ladybug in the old laptop at one point.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, so the new keyboard, and then they have the text. What do they call it? I forget the word now. I want to say textile. And that's not it. The
tactile
touchpad, which actually measures the pressure that you're pushing against it, so it gives a whole new dimension for different apps that you can use, that the harder you push, it will notice it, or the lighter you push. So for games and stuff, you can use it for like pressing a gas pedal or something like that.
Yeah.
I've
never liked those touchpads.
Yeah.
You know, from any laptop maker, I've never found one I liked. I want a mouse, and that's that.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I have the trigger finger, and I finally figured out that the trigger finger was caused by using a touchpad, because that middle finger I use all the time. I don't use my index finger on a touchpad.
Well, yeah, you drive in Massachusetts a lot, so I can see where your middle finger is.
I use the middle finger on touchpads, and I found out that's what's bothering me, so I switched back to a mouse. Okay, guess what? Now my index finger, which is the one I use on the mouse to use the scroll wheel, yeah, it's starting to hurt too. So I'm doomed. Anyway, so but back to the MacBook. The only thing, and because they made it so thin and so beautiful and so gorgeous, and look how thin it is. Oh, by the way, did we mention it's thin? It's very thin. If you put it on a table and you look at it from an angle, you can't even see it. It's so thin.
It's so thin you can lose it in front of you.
and because we made it so thin, we only can put two ports on it. One is an earphone plug on one side, and on the other side, it's the USB-C, I believe they call it. Which is a cool, it's a new, I mean, it's the latest and greatest, newest USB coming out, which is cool for one reason and one reason only, in my opinion. But despite the speed advances and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with it, the best part about USB-C is that you can plug it in either way, and it fits.
Yeah, I like that.
But they're the only two ports on this laptop. The USB-C is what you use if you need to charge it, if you want to connect it to another monitor, if you want to connect an external hard drive to it. It's so you got one port. That's it.
So you're automatically going to go out and you're going to buy a TARDIS port expander.
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah, and I'm sure you got to get a USB-C one.
Yeah.
How many of those are out there? I'm sure you'll find them at the Apple Store. And so that means you're going to have to carry that around with you if you want to do more than one thing at a time. Look, I can either charge it or I can use an external monitor or I can connect up a hard drive to it. But that... One port. I mean,
not cool.
Attention, Apple. Oh, wait a minute. Let me do this right.
Less is not necessarily more.
Let me do this right if I can. Attention, Apple. Make the damn thing a little thicker and put more than one port on it. Okay, that is all.
Yeah. Well, I think they're responding to PC makers who have produced laptops that are thinner than the MacBook Air, and they're just trying to win the thinness race. But you know, the thing is, to me, I don't give a shit how thin the fucking thing is.
I gotta make things thicker so I can pick the damn things up.
Yep. I don't even care about that. Me, I want power. I don't care how small it is. I still lug around a 17-inch MacBook Pro because I want power.
Well, actually, Barty, this one is a pretty powerful MacBook for the size. It's
The size and the fact that you got one friggin' port, though, so you can't plug six different things into it and make it do six things at once because you only got one hole.
I know. But...
Boy, Joel. You need at least two, right?
I can't tell you how many times I've actually plugged in, you know, my half-terabyte hard drive in the port on the left side of my computer. And seriously, and I plug in my 2-terabyte hard drive on the right. Mm-hmm. And I slide things from the... antenna of power. What the hell do you call that thing, Barry?
Antenna of power?
Yes.
Oh,
transmitter?
You mean the magic antenna?
The magic antenna. So all the data that's been received from the magic antenna that usually ends up on my 500 gigabyte drive, I slide over to my 2-terabyte drive through my Windows machine or through my MacBook. Mm-hmm. And that's because I can plug one hard drive in one port, another drive in the other port, and slide it across and hand break it along the way.
Yeah, well, you know, I use a laptop mainly when I'm traveling. And basically, I'm trying to emulate my home environment on my laptop. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I want a laptop that can carry all my data and stuff and be able to run all my same software at maybe not necessarily the same speed, because obviously you're not going to be able to make a mobile Mac Pro, but you can still get something that's going to be somewhat similar or at least bearable. And you know, I want a big screen because I want to be able to look at stuff. You know, I do a lot of things that are, you know, photo related. So, you know, you used to keep making these screens smaller and smaller. Like the last thing that pissed me off was Apple stopped making 17-inch laptops. Yeah. It's like, screw you. That's what I want is a 17-inch screen. I don't care how much it weighs. Yeah. I want power and I want screen space.
Well, apparently people disagree with us, Barty, because...
Yeah, I think so.
More people go out and get these little 13-inch MacBook Airs, and they were like the hot seller, and I can't wait to get my little 13-inch book.
If you want something small with a small screen, get a friggin' iPad.
Yeah, really.
Well, an iPad Air 2 is fast as hell. Yeah. It's got a good-sized, decent screen.
Yeah.
And it can do, I mean, you can run Office on it, for crying out loud. I don't have the Air 2. I've got the original Air, and I run Office on it, and I don't have any problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I want screen space because most of the stuff I do is photo-related.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, getting into a little tiny screen doesn't really do me much good. You know, I want something with a big piece of screen.
Right.
And I want something with a lot of processor space and a lot of processor speed.
Yep. I agree with you. So
I don't care what it weighs. Yeah. That's what I want to carry with me.
Yeah. I'd rather have a bigger, thicker, and give me more stuff.
More power. Exactly.
All right. So that'll do the hardware check, and that brings us up to what we affectionately call here now the Bob break. Bob, we're going to talk about Ingress, but it's going to be short because it's only me and I'm not really playing that much anymore, so you might be able to go out and grab yourself another beer or something. I wouldn't make a trip to the restroom, though, because I don't think you'll make it back in time. So anyway, so Bob, quick, now's the time to go as we talk about Ingress.
Acquiring position. Downloading latest Intel package.
Fade this out because it's very long. And I really don't have anything. I know you guys... Okay, there. I faded it out on the thing. well, Ingress. I was down in Pennsylvania. I got a bunch of uniques because I've never played Ingress down in PA before. And I wiped out some pretty big green fields. And, of course, it's always fun to do that in some place that you don't normally play because they go, who the hell's this QRM guy?
Yeah, really.
And why is he wiping out all our big green fields? So it was fun. And that's my Ingress report for this week. Bob, come back! Bob!
Come on back!
Come on back, Bob!
A little bit of Ingress talk. I went to Watertown, New York.
Oh, and, go up! Sorry, wait a minute. Bob! You got Bob, a couple more minutes. Go ahead.
You can actually piss this time, Bob. I went and hit a portal at the post office in Watertown, New York, and beat it up pretty bad. But this time I wasn't able to take it over like I did the last time I was there. Mm. But the funny part was I got a communication from the person that owned it saying, oh, you're back. And I was like, well, you know, once in a while when the snow gets low, those of us in the Tug Hill actually get to escape once in a while.
Yeah.
It's funny getting a report back from somebody whose portal you just kicked the ass out of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't take it over, but I beat it up pretty bad. She was complaining because she had just gotten home from shopping and found out that her portal had his ass kicked.
Yeah, and it's even harder now if you got somebody that's pretty active and fight you. You know, they do the recharge game with you. Well, they got this new feature. I think Michael went over that they have a fast charge now. If you hit the recharge button, press it and hold it. It will now recharge a whole bunch all at once, and that's cool if you don't have to sit there and keep hitting the button when you're actually legitimately recharging things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing, you know, somebody's attacking your portal and you're playing the recharge game with him while he's trying to attack it, you're recharging it. Yeah, it makes it damn near impossible if somebody's playing that because, you know, you sit there and press it and hold it down. It's like poof, and it's like you're gonna go through some XMPs to. You know, and matter of fact, C4, the dreaded C4, he played Recharge Game with me and did that. So I kind of knew right away he was doing it. So, and I had a whole bunch of low level XMPs. So I switched from using my higher ones because I knew I wasn't going to win. So I went down and I just kept playing, but I was emptying out my low level XMPs because I usually throw them out anyway. And so I decided to sit there and do that. And I was making him use some power cubes, I guess. At least I think I was making him use some power cubes. I was just hitting him with low level stuff just to get rid of it. And then I left, and there was only one resonator left on it. So, okay, Bob, come on back. We're done. Yeah. Come back.
Well, Joel, you didn't have anything. I'm still level 4, but I'm 2/3 of the way to level 5.
Once you get level 5, things will change. It's a game changer, level 5.
Ooh, I'll be looking forward to that.
You can start attacking things.
Once the weather gets better, my wife wants to go driving around the countryside looking for portals. She loves doing that. To her, it's like a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, yeah.
And, as long as she's happy doing it, I'm good with that.
Yeah, well, Joel and I are going to get out there and do some more hunting because they got missions and stuff now, so that's kind of cool. And I'm still on my Sojourner badge. I've got 22 days now. Silver comes at 30, and then get gold at 60, and that's the one that's probably going to push me over to level 11, because I need one gold badge left, and I'm not making much progress on the other ones. So Sojourner is going to be the one. I just got to remember to go hit a portal or hack a portal every day. Okay, sorry, Bob. We lied. We're done now.
Yeah, it went a little longer, but you know what? He had time to actually get ice, crack it out of the ice tray,
yeah,
put it in the glass,
yeah,
get a jigger,
yeah,
measure, pour, mix it with a little soda,
yeah,
go take a pee,
mm-hmm,
throw some kibble down for the dogs,
hack a portal,
and get back.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, so we're good. We're done now. Hey, the problem is when you start talking English, you can just go on and on and on.
Well, I'm glad you guys can, because I fell asleep.
That's because you don't play enough. If you started playing, you'd start telling your stories. So,
sure.
You will. Wait until we get you out there this summer.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, we will. You were telling longer stories.
I enjoyed it. I have to say, with playing along with friends,
yeah,
I did enjoy it. It was awesome. Plus, you get to see a lot of sites and or places that I normally wouldn't, say, walk to.
Yeah, you don't know.
Or drive. When you took me up to that, what the hell was it? That was
the
dam?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was there, and I lived in that area, Jaffrey, Manette, that area for 5.5 years.
Yeah, McDowell.
I never knew that was there.
McDowell Dam? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Anyway.
It's pretty up there. It's like, wow, this is really great.
It's a nice big park up there.
Pictures. Yeah.
Bring a camera.
You know what? That's my next big thing is to actually buy. Hey, what's Michael saying? Hey, guys, sorry I lost connection.
Where's he saying that?
On the late night QRM page.
Oh, okay.
In the
I just got the Hangout window up right now. So. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, you lost connection. We know. We kind of noticed. Oh, come on. What are you doing? Okay, I'm trying to read. And very, very
he's trying to read
on data. And Joel's typing something now. Isn't this exciting? Anyway, okay, we're done with Ingers. Yeah, except for Joel will be telling his stories once I get him out and playing, because that's what he did when we went to Copper Harbor and we were playing, and he had more stories to tell.
I did. That was fun. Yeah. I had a blast. And you know what? When we go to the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour,
we're going to take Bob out. Ingerson.
Exactly. The Roundtables podcast. We're going to be podcasting up there too, yeah, but at the Roundtables, the nice thing is, Dave actually mentioned it. The guys mentioned it in the last show. He's like, and yes, there's a bunch of portals up here you can freaking go hack. I laughed when I heard Bob and David are all much, yeah. And Anthony, like, yeah, there's freaking portals for you guys at QRM. I was like, cool. Yeah.
There's only one problem, though.
What?
Unless they got Wi-Fi near them, I probably won't be hitting them much. You got to pay for the data dearly.
So you turn your data on, you hack, turn data off.
Yeah, that's not the problem.
Yeah, that gets expensive.
I don't know how much data the frickin' Ingress app.
1.1 gigabytes. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, at 10, was it 10 bucks per megabyte or something?
Yeah, it's
or gigabyte. 20 bucks per That's megabyte?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. No.
Your mileage may vary.
Yeah. I'll have to look into that before we go up there. But I know it's.
You might be able to get a plan, you know.
Yeah, you can buy. You can buy a plan.
You can buy a plan, but it's not much better. You know,
$30. You buy $30 worth of data, and then you've got, you know, like 40 million gigabigs.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not that. It's like $200, and they give you maybe, you know, 500 meg.
Oh no, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's a total ripoff when you leave the country.
You know, and like we're talking just going down the road.
I know.
It's not like we're, you know, going thousands of miles away or crossing an ocean.
The globe,
or that's
right?
The part that
we're actually
me
going
off.
For a 7-hour drive north.
I know. But
well, in my case, Canada's 2 hours away.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
2 hours
this is,
and.
This is further away than Canada is.
2 hours and $200 away.
Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. Where we're going is 7 hours away. We can hit Canada in 2 hours as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
because yeah, I keep talking to Tony that we ought to take a picture of the sign where you're coming out of Fort Drum and you're heading towards I-81, where it shows taking the exit to the south goes to Watertown. The exit to the north, Canada.
Yeah.
That's all it says. It's, you know, you can go left for Watertown, right for Canada.
Yeah.
Because that's all there is.
Yep,
between
that
Watertown and the border, there ain't squat.
Yep. So, okay. Well, let's move on to entertainment last month. Welcome to our, what do we call the episode? Not episode. It's not an episode. It's a show.
Our edition of
a show within a show of entertainment last month, where we review shows that are old, but we see them probably for the first time, and so we talk about them because they're new to us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Well, yes. Yeah. You're watching old shows. I'm watching current ones.
Well, yes, but yes, that's true. I watched new shows too, but
well, yeah, you watch new shows. It kind of goes right along with what Bob was saying. I love the joke those guys got it again on the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour when say, "Well, everybody's going to hear this except for the guys at Late Night Cure. We're probably going to listen to this sometime in August." and I just want to dispel something. If they've made it this far into the show, I'm always current.
No, I'm the one that's behind.
The other guys are usually running a little bit to a lot of bit behind. I'm always current on the show, Bob.
I am very damn close to being caught up. I'm in November right now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All the way up to November.
All the way up to November.
We're coming into April, right?
That's pretty good for me. Well, the show I have that's actually it's an old show, but this is kind of current. Well, it's current for the U.S. because we don't actually get this show, except for on Netflix or the Magic Antenna. And it's a Canadian show called The Trailer Park Boys. And Netflix announced that the 9th season is now available on Netflix. So I'm looking forward to watching the 9th episode, or 9th season of The Trailer Park Boys. I am an avid fan of that show. I don't know why. I love the show.
I started after you talked about it. Multiple shows ago.
Yeah.
I started to try to watch it from episode one.
Yeah.
And I found it entertaining ish. But I mean, nothing that I was like, you know, ooh, this is so good, or you know, maybe I didn't get into it far enough with enough episodes to, you know, have it. Get into the storyline and the plot and really sink in and want to keep following it. But it seemed like it had promise, but it just didn't strike me Like, when you first started watching Seinfeld, I felt the same way. I'm like, this is not that great. I may not watch it. And then years after it's off the air, I start watching it, Adam, just because it was there, and I friggin' loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid that, I think this Park Boys is going to be like one of those for
me. It's one of the new things. You get to know the characters, and it's a nuance with the characters. You know, like, God, and I don't even know their names, because I haven't watched it for a while, and, you know, I've got... CRS, you know, early signs of CRS.
Exactly.
And, God, I can't think of his freaking name right now. The guy that's always got a drink in his hand. Well, first of all, you never see him without a short glass drink in his hand. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And one of the funniest things I saw was the two of them got into a car wreck. They flipped the car. Okay. And the car is sitting upside down, and they're in the car. Upside down, and the guy's still hanging on to his drink. Nothing spilled, but he's hanging on to it upside down, so the drink is upright.
That's cool.
You know, and it's just, I don't know. It's just all the stupid stuff they try and somehow weasel out of getting in trouble. You know, well, then again, they end up in jail all the time, and then they come back out, and they go right back into doing all these stupid things. But I enjoy it. It's an addiction. What can I say? It's one of those things you start. It's like watching a car wreck.
Right, right.
Driving by a car wreck.
Keep watching.
It's one of those things that if it's not happening to you, it's funny as hell.
Yeah.
Right.
So I enjoy it. Maybe other people, maybe our Canadian friends will say, I figures you enjoy it. I don't know, but I enjoy it, you know?
Stupid Americans.
So, Joel, you've got something.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I started to, and I saw the advertisements for it on Hulu Plus, and thought, this might have promise. Probably about 2 months ago? About 2 months ago.
It's probably about a month.
No, but I'm saying they started advertising.
Oh, advertising, for the show, yes,
about 2 months ago. A month ahead of when it was released. And the little excerpts looked promising, which was the show Last Man on Earth, played by about a man, Phil Miller.
Phil, the name of the guy on the show.
Yeah, I'm saying the character, okay, is, sure, name is Phil Miller.
Yeah.
Played by William Forte, or Will Forte.
Will Forte.
Forte, right.
Yes. Used to be on SNL.
Forte, tomato.
And I looked at it, and you know, that some of the clips in the commercials they showed where he was bowling with fish tanks, and I thought that was rather funny in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And generally blowing shit up just because you can, because there's no more people. It's like other people just disappeared, and it's post-apocalyptic. And
virus.
Virus, and he's just like the only guy around, so he starts getting a little lonely. And how he was got a generator, and he just walk up to any old house, and he's like, I'm gonna live here. And he stole like the Mona Lisa and hung that up in his living room because he traveled the world. And long short,
not quite sure how he did that, but
yeah, exactly. I'm wondering too. But long, what had happened is after about a year, yeah, one scene that I thought was really good is that he was watching. Tom Hanks in the hell's shit.
Yeah.
Castaway.
Yeah.
And he said, I would never start talking to athletic playing balls and soccer balls and volleyballs and this and that. And then they cut to, you know, they put the words up like 2 months later. He's in a bar drinking bourbon in the dark by candlelight, actually, talking to a tennis ball, a basketball, a football, a tennis ball, a ping pong ball, and he's got them strategically laid out, and he's drawn eyes and mouths and noses, and gave him little drinks, you know, so he's talking to the guys at the bar, and I'm like, that was so friggin', you know, it's got a lot of what I call simpleton humor in it, but it's actually really humorous.
Yeah.
Until, spoiler alert, he discovers he's not the last man on Earth or the last person on Earth because he comes across a female.
Uh-oh. Yes. It all goes to hell now.
And in his mind, he wishes, God, I just wish I had a girlfriend and I wasn't alone.
He was about ready to commit suicide by slamming his...
He was ready to commit suicide. He was so lonely and just wanted the company of a woman to talk to and be with and the whole nine yards. And he has this image of a blonde, you know, attractive blonde in his mind and the whole nine yards. And she's, you know, of course, in your mind, in your fantasy world, everything can be perfect. And what he comes across, or who he comes across, is the furthest thing from what he had ever imagined. She's loud, she's obnoxious, partly fucking crazy, and it is, you know, looks nothing like what he had anticipated. Mm-hmm. And
sounds like Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh my God, it was funny just to see that, and he's sitting there, and the expression, I tell you, as an actor. He plays it so well because his look on his face is like, holy shit, this is not what I bargained for. It's good. Give it a watch. Give it two or three episodes. I always say that, I know, and it sounds a little, you know, redundant because I say, always give it two or three episodes and you'll get into it. But this one, you'll get into it.
It sounds like something I'd like to see.
Yeah,
it's actually a good show.
The description really makes it sound like an interesting show to watch.
It is good. I've been watching it. And the reason why I started watching, well, first of all, I like Will Forte. You may have know him as the character MacGruber from Saturday Night Live in a couple of very bad movies.
I stopped watching Saturday Night Live after Chevy Chase left.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's after year one. I understand that. and you were what, 4 years old, I think. So,
so syndicated reruns.
Anyway, I had to watch it because I said, how are they going to make a series about one guy left? I just had to find out. And I found out how they're doing it. And I'm still watching it because I think it's very interesting what they're doing. And I'm not going to do any more spoilers. You just got to watch it. There's been a couple nights that they've had double shows on. So... All in all, it's only been on for about a month, of which case, and I forget what episode they're up on. Oh, I could probably tell you because I get it on my magic antenna.
Yeah, you can tell us.
do I have that up somewhere? Let me see.
Come on. You know you got it. Fess up.
Hang on.
Fess up. Come on. Fess up.
Talk some more, Joel, while I look.
Yeah, Joel.
Yeah, all right. Well, so as far as that, where we're at up to this point is... Where he thought he was the only person, and he meets his companion, let's just say. And I don't want to give too much away for those
companion
who are going to watch it.
Nemesis?
Leaning more in that direction. And he's thinking, okay, well, he goes, I guess, you know, in so many words, this doesn't suck as bad as I thought it could suck. I'm going to be, you know, spending time with you. And he's just about reached that point where, okay, I'm not lonely anymore. Lo and behold, to what Barry's point, another person appears, and this other person that appears is the woman that he was imagining he could be with.
So there's three people now.
Yes, but one he doesn't want to be with, and the other he wishes he was.
But he married. He married the first girl.
You're right. So. Well, she insisted.
Well, how can you marry her if they're the only two?
Well, exactly. She insisted upon it so they could repopulate the Earth. And you're thinking, wait a minute, these people can't repopulate the Earth. But she's kind of loony. That's why it's kind of fun to watch the character develop.
This does sound pretty funny.
And
I do want to watch this show.
And he's kind of an ass. He really does. He acts like an ass in many, 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 many ways.
Well, that's typical male.
So there's six episodes so far.
Damn. Yep. Already.
Yeah.
And it's on Netflix. Give it a watch.
Yeah.
Or Hulu Plus, rather.
Hulu
sorry.
Plus, yeah. It won't be on
Is
Netflix.
Is it only on Netflix?
Hulu Plus.
No. Hulu Plus, or you can probably look for it on, you know, DVR. In other words, past episodes on your DVR and Dish Network.
I'm trying to figure out what channel it's on.
It is on the blah, blah, blah channel.
Yeah.
I want to say CW. I
think the number's going to be different depending upon where you are.
Is it FX?
It might be FX.
Well, not if it's CW.
No, exactly. Hold on a second.
I was just going to try to do a search.
I'm looking it up right now. Monitors. Last Man on Earth.
No, it's on Fox.
It's on Fox.
Sunday nights. Sunday nights on Fox.
CW crap, Joel.
No, I was just thinking.
CW shows on it that I like.
Because I have actually been watching it live for the past couple of weeks, and it's on Fox.
Yep.
So yeah, give it a try. It's kind of cool. It's quirky.
It's really
does sound rather interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's nothing like the movie. There was a movie called The Last Man on Earth. It was an old, much older movie, but this is a comedy, and it's really worth watching. I think you'll enjoy it.
Chris,
so if you got a little bit of a childish sense of humor, it's funny. I mean, right down to up and including when you think of the little things like, well, at the end of the world, there's nobody there to run power plants. So there's no electricity. So there's no electricity around the water pumps that would pump water to your house to do what?
Water wouldn't need electricity. A lot of it is water pressure.
No, it needs a pump from a pumping station. As a rule of thumb, it comes out of it comes from the reservoirs, but there's bumper pumps or stepper pumps that help give it pressure through neighborhoods.
That's what water towers were for. They'd have one pump that pumps it up to the tower, and then the tower is always higher than...
Right, and the pressure would push it down. However, when your toilet won't flush anymore, he had to invent the poop pole.
Yeah.
You know, and you put a toilet seat on a diving board, and I'm like, that's funny shit.
The poop pole. Now, yes, and they do, they are actually kind of realistic on some of these things, but they aren't realistic on a few other things, so you got to have an imagination. For instance, they clearly say that everybody died from a virus that went rampant through the world.
Yeah.
You never see a dead body.
No, they're all gone.
They're all gone. So where did they go?
They considerately all went to one spot and then died.
Yeah, the whole world went to it.
Somewhere there's a great big pile of bodies.
Yeah, yep. So that's the other thing. The other thing was they didn't say anything about whether the animals were affected or not, but you see no animals on planet, so I don't know.
But they talk about
like an alien abduction. No,
they don't talk about animals, but...
One episode they actually did, he said something about hearing noises, and they were outside. She's like, I think I heard a noise, Phil, and I remember hearing it. It was... what episode was that in? I'm trying to remember. But I do recall them saying something about hearing a noise from an animal.
Okay. Well, they certainly haven't shown any animals.
No, they haven't shown a one.
So, it piques my interest to keep watching to see how they're going to continue on with the show.
Yep.
So, cool. I think that'll about do entertainment last month. And I think that's going to do it for the show, because we are starting even with the half hour ahead of time that is pre-show that you're not going to hear all of. We're still at 2 hours, 33 minutes. So I think
we're moving our way towards friggin' 17.
Well, it's around 2 hours right now, really. So, and that's a good, yes.
That's a good number.
Yeah. So, I still got to give a shout out to Doug and Sluggers Doug with his F bomb. Oh, he took all the last a podcast that Anthony Marco did and did. He used the F bomb throughout it, and he just edited it, and it made my commute. I got to tell you, I was cracking. I almost had to pull over. I was laughing so hard.
It was really good.
And cheers to Anthony for being able to use that word like an artist with a paintbrush and canvas. And of course, you know, I made a comment that, you know, Anthony's out there and, you know, they're always joking about how long our show is and, you know, talking about doing 17 hours and working up to the 17 hour marathon. I just happened to comment, you know, I think I subscribed to all of, Anthony's podcast. And if you listen to a week's worth, back to back to back, I think he's already beaten the 17 hour mark.
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm just, you know, just saying.
Just throwing that out there.
Just throwing that out there. So anyway, we do have a musical guest tonight, and we're continuing our countdown of the number 40 song on the Billboard Hot 100 for the 70s. We're up to 1973, and the 40th song for that year is Seals and Croft with Diamond Girl. So we'll be listening. They'll be our guest. That song. So that's where we are, 1973. Let's see. 1973. I was in high school. I was in 10th grade.
I graduated in 74.
Ah, so you were a senior.
Yeah, I was two.
Oh, God. Huh?
I was pooping in my diapers.
So. Yeah, it was a senior pooper.
All right. Well, as we do every show, we want to thank the military people out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, for what you do. Thanks for helping keeping us safe and watching out for us, and especially you OCONUS guys. Please be careful.
And girls.
What's that?
And girls.
And girls, yes. I'm sorry. Why, you know, be careful out there. There's a lot of wacky people out there these days, and they seem to like to use you as, or want you as, a target. So please be careful, and we hope you get home to your family and friends real soon. Until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, banned from Bottom Gear, this is Joel.
Bring back Joel! And from the Tug Hill Plateau of central New York, this is Barty.
And Michael's on the road, coming back from First Robotics, and we wish him well, and we'll catch up with him with all the details next week. So, or listen to the podcast that shall not be named.
Please.
Yeah, because I'm sure all the details will be there. So, with that, thanks. That's 175, 176 next week. Oh, by the way, and 173 is going to be put out tonight. I've got it all done. I just got to put it together and throw it out, but you won't know about this. And, yeah, it'll be out there before you hear this. So, anyway, okay, thanks. And here's Seals and Crofts. Samson, speak. Good boy.